Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Black Free Thinkers on Blog Talk Radio. This is Kimberly, and I am happy to have you guys here today. Happy to be here with you, just happy to share some information that, you know, I have, and thank you for being here. Mandisa Thomas is not here today. They have their meeting for Black Non-Believers, Inc., and their meetings are generally every third Sunday of the month, and if you have any questions, you can find them, blacknonbelievers.org. That is their website, and you can reach Mandisa@blacknonbelievers.org, and you can also reach them, blacknonbelievers@yahoo.com. All of that information is out there. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me, and I will pass it along or send you over to that side so that you can ask the questions. Anyway, my name is Kimberly, and I am also with Black Non-Believers of Chicago. We just kicked off a group here in Chicago, and we just have a splash page up now, but we also created a meetup group as well. So if you go to meetup.com/Black Non-Believers of Chicago, you will find our information. Our first meeting will be Sunday, January 29th, 2012, at approximately 4 o'clock at the Starbucks over in Bronzeville. So we ask that you join us. You don't necessarily have to join a meetup group to meet us there, but if you want to join the meetup group, that's fine and lovely, but we have a lot of things in store. As a matter of fact, I met up with a group of guys yesterday, and I just want to send a shout-out to Reggie, Frank, and Jerry. Had a wonderful time, and we're actually going to get together again in a couple of weeks, both those of you in the Chicago area that want to join us as we get things started and, you know, work out some things to put together for the National Day of Solidarity for Black Non-Believers. That day actually is February 26th of 2012, which is on a Sunday. And we're just asking everyone across the nation to, you know, participate. And you don't have to be a Black non-believer. You know, again, this is open to everyone, whether you're Latino, Asian, Caucasian, what have you, whatever, you know, your ethnicity may happen to be. We just want everyone to participate, just have a day of solidarity. And this is being sponsored and spearheaded by Mr. Donald Wright. He was on the show last week. So if you all could go back into the archives and take a listen to the show, he expounded on it beautifully last week, and that information is out there. But we are really looking forward to having a great, great turnout for the National Day of Solidarity for Black Non-Believers. So, again, that information is out there, and we thank you guys, you know, for calling in and supporting us and supporting this day. Also, our telephone number is 310-982-4273. Again, that's 310-982-4273. And if you press 1, you'll be able to speak with the host. And we appreciate you guys, you know, again, for calling in. And me personally, I can be reached at blackfreethinkers@gmail.com. Again, that's blackfreethinkers@gmail.com. You can find all of my other contact information on my Blog Talk Radio profile. So if someone wants to contact me, we have Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Gmail. Now we have blacknonbelievers@chicago.org. There's an email and a contact us sheet or form on that page as well. So that information, again, is out there, and we really look forward to speaking with you guys and, you know, progressing, moving forward. And there are a lot of things coming up this year. The Reason Rally, that's one thing that I want to talk about. If you go to reasonrally.org, you will find the information for that, and that is happening the latter part of March. And right after the Reason Rally, during the same weekend, the American Atheists, they're having their conference as well, their national conference. So that will be there. And Ayanna Watson of BAM, Black Atheists of America, she will be one of the speakers there. So you please give her some support. You know, that is wonderful. You know, looking forward to all of that. And there are going to be a host of other speakers there. If you go to AmericanAtheist.org, you can find that information as well. Also, this year, we will be having the African American for Humanism Conference. It will be in Chicago. The information is still forthcoming. But if you have any questions or just any inquiries, you can go to centerforinquiry.net/AAH. Again, centerforinquiry.net/AAH. Debbie Goddard is the contact for that. And again, more information is forthcoming, and as I receive it, I will be more than happy to share it with you. And again, there are a variety of different things coming up. The Women in Secularism Conference is coming up as well. And I posted that information last week. I'm looking for it now. And I will post that in the room, but that's also on the centerforinquiry.net website. You can go into events, and the information is there. That will be May 18th through the 20th, and it will be held in Arlington, Virginia. So, you guys, the information is out there. Please go take a look, find it, and participate. Another event that I wanted to let you all know is Dr. Hutchinson will be sponsoring an event in Los Angeles, Black Atheists in the Pulpit. And I am posting the Facebook event information. This is taking place Wednesday, February 1st. So this is right around the corner, guys. This is taking place in Los Angeles at Zion Hill Baptist Church in Los Angeles. And this is the first time this type of discussion has taken place in this particular venue. So that is wonderful. So, again, if you all can lend support, that would be fantastic. But, again, this, some of these events are coming to a town near you, so don't despair. Anyway, we can move on. Today is open mic, and I already have people with their hands up. We have someone from 360 here. 360, are you there?
This is the big funny Travis Simmons.
Hey, Travis, happy birthday, dear.
Thank you very much, Kim. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So what's been going on with you? I know you were doing, you know, the different charities for the homeless. You were feeding the homeless, and you were working with Occupy. What's been going on with you?
Well, lately I'm doing all kind of stuff. I guess today, it's I'm thinking about March. You know, today is not only my birthday, but it is one of my nephew Jeremiah's birthday, and it's also Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday as well.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That is fantastic. And earlier this week, for those of you all who don't know this, it was also Zora Neale Hurston's birthday earlier this week, just so that you all would know. But go ahead, Travis, finish.
No, who's that? Tell me. Tell me who that was, what they did. Enlighten us.
Exactly. And, you know, I just want to impress upon people that we remember those who pioneered the way for us. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've seen just in general, I've seen many people lose, how can I say it? Basically, the people who have pioneered the way for us, that have gone before us, after a certain amount of time, it seems as though people forget about them, that their throne, that their legacy is for forgotten or what have you. And I just think that it's important that we continue to remember and honor these people who have paved the way. And even though we may not necessarily agree with all of their ideology, they are important. It's important that we understand the history and know the background of, you know, not only with, you know, our particular community, but also the free thought community and, you know, just, you know, whatever it happens to be. We need to understand the history because it kind of explains some of what's happening now and why people, you know, have progressed or, you know, in some cases regressed in their daily walks. So I just, it's important. Yeah, definitely.
You know, one of there was a Tavis Smiley had Harry Belafonte on his show the other day, and they were talking about Martin Luther King, and it was mixed up with them talking about you know, being atheists and a bunch of different other things, and Harry Belafonte said that one of the things that Martin said to him that was very important, that, you know, was, he said, "I'm from the church, I'm not of the church."
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, some of them still use that same terminology, you know, same thing. I'm from the church, not of the church, or I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And so that's why we try to explain it because, you know, if you want to go, you know, and get the philosophical term for that, you know, or the basically what's behind that is no true Scotsman. And it's just interesting because if you're not part of them, if you're in some other separate group, that means that you're part of the true group, the real group, and all the rest of them are fake or frauds or what have you. So, you know, how do you all explain that if this is your God and he's all-knowing and, you know, ever-present, how is it that you all have conflicting information? Why can't you all come to some type of resolution for your religion and your belief systems and your ideology? Why is that not possible?
Well, because everyone has different things that's way, way silly to them, right? So if you're a person and you're a carpenter, right, or, you know, someone who builds, you know, works on houses or learn how to put up drywall, by a parent, then when you see somebody trying to make something but not measuring it, it looks silly to you. And so that right there will be enough to be silly, right? Then if you have a parent that is well-read, and so then if someone is trying to tell you about science or what a scientist should do based on the Bible, a book written 3,000 years ago, you're like, hey, man, how do you get to tell me anything about, you know, what this guy's doing when he's read way more books than you? He studied, he's done experiments, and you want to say because somebody, you know, in the sand said it, or somebody said they said it? I got to listen to you? Did you get to sit at the table with the rest of us? And listen?
Exactly. And, you know, they truly believe that. And, you know, again, you know, yesterday I just had a wonderful time. I can't stress it again. It was Frank and Reggie and Jerry, and it was just fantastic. And we talked about all of that. And, you know, what you're talking about, you know, is appeal to authority. And, you know, Reggie expounded on it beautifully. You know, we're going to have him on the show real soon, as well as Frank and Jerry. And, again, you know, one of the questions that we probably need to ask some believers is, do you believe that all authority is correct all of the time?
Well, no matter what, I think Neil deGrasse Tyson said, no matter who tells you anything, you have to have a, you know, like a scientific tool set, you know, you have to make it even simpler than that. You have to be able to ask questions. Okay?
Right.
Somebody tells you something, well, do you do that? Well, where? Okay. And why do you think this is true? Okay? Do you have any of the arguments against what you're saying? You know, I like to know both sides of an argument.
You exactly.
know, and all sides, because it's not always really an either or. Okay? And so, I don't know. It just seems like a bunch of people keeping other people dumb. And really trying to keep them dumber than they are so that they can keep control of them. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's a matter of control. Let's pull someone else into the conversation here. We have area code 352 on the line. May we ask who's calling? 352? Okay, I guess they're not ready to talk yet. We'll put them back on hold then. But, yeah, no, Travis, and that's true. And, again, you know, as we move forward, it's a matter of educating each other and educating ourselves and doing the necessary research so that we can become stronger in, you know, being able to provide empirical evidence and being able to provide facts. And being, but not only being able to provide it, but we have to be able to explain it and explain it in terms that the average person can understand, because not everybody is a physicist. Not everybody
has to be, you're right. You are absolutely, it has to be able to be explained simply. And a lot of times it has to be able to be explained in a funny way. Because if you laugh at it, then it locks in a little bit better. You know, and like when a grandmother or would say, "Hey, boy, don't be doing that. If you do that, blah 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 blah's gonna happen to your ass." You know, something like that, and it's funny. And then you avoided whatever that situation was. You know, I tried to be general right there without any specifics, because everybody has their own good feelings of what grandma said. You know what I mean? You know,
exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly, and that's why I was saying last week that we have to be a little patient with them, because I used to get angry with them, but we have to be, me personally, I'm a little bit more patient with them, because I've come to understand that in most cases they really do not know. They really don't understand, and this is where education comes in, and it's really important that, you know, we understand the people that we're speaking to, not only understand our subject matter, but also understand the people. 352 calls us. We're back on the line. 352, can we ask who's calling? Can you turn your radio down?
There's an echo.
Okay. Are you there? I guess they're not ready. We'll put them back on hold again. We'll go over to 989. Area code 989, are you there? May we ask who's calling?
Hey, Kim, how you doing? It's Alphonse.
Hey, Alphonse, how are you, dear?
I got some good news. I may be going to the Reason Rally in March.
Excellent. Excellent. That will be fantastic. I will be looking for you, because I definitely will be there. I've already booked most of my accommodations. I have to get a flight out. But that's basically the only thing that's the hold up for me, because right now the prices are ridiculous.
My chemistry teacher is going to be out of town that week, and she's not going to be here. So I said I may shoot to Washington, D.C.
Excellent. Yeah. Oh, wow. It should be a lot of fun. You're going to meet a lot of people. They're anticipating a really large turnout for the Reason Rally.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about it, Travis?
I have not. I mean, for me, I'm over in Seattle, but that's way over on the other side of the country. You know
but
what
Arizona?
I mean? It's not like...
Yeah, I'm in Arizona.
Huh?
I'm in Arizona?
Yeah, see, but see, on the other hand, I also understand why you want to get out of Arizona.
Wow. I'm in Seattle. I don't have no comeback to that.
You know what I mean? Hey,
yeah.
No, you don't, because, hey, no, I lived in Phoenix for 9 months. And I was, matter of fact, I had the displeasure of being in Phoenix during, like, the election in 08. And so I had to be there. Seriously, so I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be doing that again. I want to be around some real people, you know.
It's interesting. I've been listening or whatever, and I'm not. I think I caught the latter part of you guys, conversation. Were you guys referring to this stupid video that Christians have been promoting this weekend or all week? about the guy with the poem. It's got like 3 million hits on YouTube.
You know what? I saw that thing and I didn't even click on it. People put it on my page and I never clicked on it. Well, I should. I think somebody else told me. Some couple people told me to, and I didn't look at that shit.
You should look at it. I've been destroying this thing all weekend.
Okay. Excellent. What is it? What is it talking about?
It's called I love Jesus, but I hate religion. I hate religion, but I love Jesus.
Yeah,
I hate religion, but I love Jesus. You know what? If you added one word, I would be okay with it. You know what it is?
What's that?
I'm okay with the idea of Jesus, but I hate religion. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Okay.
I'm okay with the idea of sharing. You know, I'm okay with that idea. If you stop right there, it was like a love your neighbor as thyself and feed everybody. And if you got 5,000 and you only got a couple loaves, you got to figure it out. Okay. You know, hey, if you run out of wine, you know, you got to figure it out. They don't see how he did it.
Yeah.
He ate the piston and the thing and just added some lemon.
Yeah, but I've been like slicing this thing apart, and people have been pushing like the crucifixion and everything, and I had to like debate it was not a sacrifice. And the person I always like to compare to Jesus is this guy named Wells Crowther. He's actually a real person. He saved a few people from the 9/11 attacks from one of the towers. He like rescued them or whatever, took them down a flight of stairs. He went back like in pursuit to try to rescue more people, and he died. I was like, he didn't come back. That's a real sacrifice. Jesus came back. And then the other thing I always point out is in the Old Testament, God destroyed the world. Why didn't he send Jesus then? Those people, if you look at the text, even though, like I said, the text is ridiculous anyway, but I have to use it because, one, I'm a former Christian, and that's the only way you can reach some people. But it was no schools. It was no type of established churches. It just said, the world was wicked, so I destroyed it. Like, why didn't you send Jesus then? So,
exactly.
Well, yeah.
Let's see, my argument for some of that is God created both good and evil, so he created his own problem, so I'm not understanding why he's angry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using that.
You know what? You're right, Kim. That's what Ingersoll said. Why should I trust someone on how to raise my kid who had to kill his?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. That's right. Oh, yeah, that's very true, very true. 352 is here again. Let's see if we can make it through. Area code 352, are you there? May we ask who's calling?
Hi, you can hear me good?
We can hear you this time. Welcome.
Okay, I had a few connection problems. This is Tracy, Free Thought MC.
Hey, Free Thought MC, guys.
How you doing? It's been a while since I called. First and foremost, I want to just go ahead and thank the New England Patriots for eliminating the Broncos from the playoffs. I swear, all this T-boning all week. I had all my Christian friends like, oh, yeah, look what they did to Pittsburgh. 3-16, that's a sign. That means they're going to go to the Super Bowl. So, you know, they can't be mouthing off anymore about that. But, you know, well, I'm
glad.
You know
what? I was rooting for Tebow. Because I had a new joke. And him being on the stage, I mean, him being on the scene, I'm a stand-up comedian. It made my joke stronger.
Okay,
so here's the joke. I said, when did religion get so mixed up with football? When I was young, the most you would have would be like a thank God after the game or a dude in the stands with like a John 3:16 sign. I said, but now we got Tebow praying in between downs. We got coaches fucking kids. It's exactly like religion.
Penn State thing.
With cover up. They spent more time picking a new coach at Penn State than they did trying to figure out how many kids Sandusky raped. That's because that messes up the money train. Every kid you find takes money off the train.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. I wonder what kind of you had a good reaction with that? Or...
Oh, wow. It destroys rooms. It destroys, sucks the air out of people's chests.
Wow.
Right? Because nobody thought about that. Because basically, I did not go off on, hey, man, the Sandusky that was on TV and was going like that. No, everybody ain't thinking about it no more. Like, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Think about that.
And someone,
it's awful.
Oh, yeah. Someone had tagged me.
The comedians pointed it out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I guess my question is, you know, some of the Christians are upset because some people are now saying, well, why didn't God have Tebow win that particular game? You know, where was God when Tebow needed him this time? And some of the Christians are now getting upset and angry saying, well, why are you all bringing God into this? How hypocritical is that?
Yeah. I don't know. You see, during the game, they had a I don't know, they were up 35-7, and they had some commercial come on about Focus and the Family and preschool scene and all these things.
Oh, that was the most disgusting
thing. I just thought
it was
like, oh, that's bad timing. You know, they should do that at the beginning of the game. Maybe that would have helped them, but, yeah.
That was the most disgusting commercial. All these kids.
These kids, right? I was like, what the hell? I was like, yo,
these kids... These kids. Exactly. Oh, I don't know. Was I supposed to cuss?
Hilarious. So is this the end for his team?
Is this the end for what?
For Tebow's team? Is this the end? I mean, I don't know. Or do they have more games to play? So
they're done. They packed up. They hit the showers. He had church today talking about how God took him to the playoffs, and that was his plan.
See, that was a lesson in humility. See, God wanted to humble him and show the other Christians how to be humble. That's what it is.
and be patient. I'm telling you, God can't fucking lose. God cannot lose. In any situation, you can say, well, this happened. Well, God want me to be patient. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
How? God can't lose. That's the one thing I'll never argue. Faith and the idea of God. Because, like, one, he works in mysterious ways, and you'll never be able to argue that down. So I just, argue theology and morals. Right? That's from now on.
Exactly.
You know, one way I would try to describe it is it as it's an ultimate one-way relationship, right? It's somebody, you talk to them, but they never talk back, right? Everything good happens in your life, you got to give them the credit. Everything wrong in your life, you didn't love God enough. It's nuts. It really is nuts. And then you have, and it all started, I always tell you this, Mark Twain said it best. He said, religion was invented when the first con man met the first fool. Okay? Because if you look at all of them, it's all one dude saying, hey, I heard something that y'all didn't, and it puts me in charge of y'all. Where if I'm God and I had something to say to the people, I would just stick my lips out the clouds and be like, listen to me. and it's happening right now. I'd be like, okay, that must be God. Or an alien. This could be an alien just tricking us. These motherfuckers looking for God. So I'm just, that would be a good movie right there. A pretty powerful alien pretending to be God. Have him be black.
Oh, yes, that would be.
Let him be Paul Mooney.
Exactly. Now, what do you think would happen, hypothetically, if aliens were to come to Earth now?
All these fucking Christians would try to convert them. And I just got through arguing. I got through arguing that, if we discover life, another life form on another planet, and somehow they were able to come to Earth, and in our atmosphere they were able to live somewhat, you know, it probably, you know, the chemicals probably changed a little bit, you know, the different makeups or whatever, but we can see them. What would you believe then? I would try to take them to Christ. I'm like, are you serious? They don't know. Their world, they told you, they don't have a Bible. They don't believe in God. And you would still try to convert them? Like, you don't get the point I'm trying to say. So, yeah, that doesn't even help.
But do you believe that the Christians would worship them as God? Because I'm just going to, you know, keep up my hypothesis here. Maybe, well, not maybe, their intelligence would far, you know, outshine anything we have. Their technology would be breathtaking. They would just, you know, we wouldn't be able to compare. Do you believe that the Christians would bow down and worship them?
Yep, their pastor, or some of them, like the mega churches, the pastor would be like, that's the new form of Jesus, or he'll manipulate the scriptures somehow to make it so the aliens are worshipped as gods. I believe that, you know.
No matter what happens, they got something for it.
Yeah. I think they might think that even the aliens could be the devil, you know. You know, it's a threat to what they believe and, you know, how they live, so. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, it's
you know what?
That
would be fun. That would be funny. A movie where two aliens come back and they decide, and two of them aliens come here, and one pretends to be the devil and one pretends to be God.
Yeah.
Both played by Dave Chappelle. How about that?
Well, one of our guests just showed up. Daryl Ray is here today talking about his new book, Sex and God, and how religion distorts sexuality. Daryl, can you hear us?
I sure can. Good
hey, how
on,
are
Kim.
You?
I'm doing super. I'm sorry to hear Mendissa's not on, but she's got other responsibilities, I guess.
Yeah, she. They're having their meeting today, so she's not here. But yeah, thank you for coming and joining us today. You know, you wanted to talk about your book, Sex in Religion, and it's, you know, kind of interesting that you tackled that particular topic for the simple fact that that seems to be one of the biggest obstacles. One of the biggest obstacles. Yeah.
Yeah, well, of course, religion and sex don't go together at all, so that's a bad joke, isn't it? No, I was corresponding with Donald Wright, and I just noticed you mentioned him a little bit earlier. And oh, by the way, I love that quote from Mark Twain. That's a great quote that one of your callers just talked about a minute ago. But
religion
anyway, Donald,
wasn't invented when the first con man met the first fool.
Yeah, Price, precisely. I've loved that quote for years. That's a great one. But anyway, I've been talking to I'm in regular communication with Donald and with Mendissa and kind of got the idea to talk to you guys from conversations with them. Donald actually helped me a little bit on the book. I write a chapter in the book. The book is about how religion just screws with sexuality and distorts it. And Don helped me on one chapter that focuses on the black church. And, you know, quite frankly, I've never seen anybody – well, the one institution in the United States that cannot be criticized is the black church. It used to be the Catholic Church couldn't be criticized, but we've gotten over that one, I think. But there's – so what I was looking at with Donald's help and Jamila Bay, do you know Jamila?
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, I quote her a couple times in this chapter on the black church. But what I'm looking at is how is the black church, how does the black church's views on human sexuality impact the community, impact the world? And, of course, I don't just focus on the black church. I focus on the Mormons and the Baptists and the Catholics. And I just kind of take them one by one and go through all of them. But anyway. That's what I thought. I'd call in and see if you're interested in hearing about it a little bit.
You know, I heard a stat the other day that said that 9 out of 10 dollars that black people give to charity go to the church. And I'm thinking, okay, so when you're wondering where your community center is, it's a shiny suit. It's a Cadillac.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the truth. And what I don't understand is their anti-abortion stance, you know, they implore, again, these young people to have children that in many cases they don't want, in most cases they can't afford, and in quite a few cases they're not raising. So these children are raising themselves or raising each other, and then everyone wants to know how they became so desensitized and in some cases display sociopathic, you know, characteristics. And that's because they, in many cases, haven't been taught better. And in some cases, you have babies having babies having babies. You know,
right,
you're
yeah.
a grandmother by the time you turn 40. Come on. And you, it's just, it's unreal because they're creating what I call a disposable culture. And it's self-defeating and it's counterproductive to any progress that the black community as a whole is trying to make. But, you know, since the children are here, again, where are the programs like Travis was saying? Every nine out of every $10 goes into the black church that's, you know, going to any type of charitable organization. Where does the responsibility of the black church comes in? Because they're sucking resources out of the community because they don't pay taxes, not only on their church, but many of them own quite a bit of real estate. You know, they have a very nice portfolio of real estate. They don't pay taxes on those properties either. So that money isn't going into the school. And then the people in the community want to complain about schools being, you know, dilapidated or having horrible teachers, but they want to place the responsibility and the blame on the city and the state and the federal government, as opposed to, again, part of that is the church. We should tax these churches. Tax them or petition
right.
them out of your neighborhood.
Yep.
Ingersoll said that if churches don't pay property tax, then anyone who does pay property tax is paying the salary of the priest.
Yep, that's true.
Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, the
that was 1800s. He said that.
The more religious a community is, the more sexually repressive they are, and the more teenage pregnancies they have, and the more STIs they have, the more they're against homosexuality, and the more they're against abortion. Isn't that? I think that's amazing. But it doesn't matter whether it's an evangelical community in Oklahoma or a black church in Chicago. The more religious you are, the more you actually have the very problems that you preach against all the time.
Exactly.
And
that's where preaching to the choir comes from. Go ahead.
Yeah, but look, the reason why they're against abortion is because the preacher's trying to build his flock. We need to help me get some more dummies in here. And if y'all teach them what I tell you to teach them, we're going to get some more dummies. Okay?
Exactly.
The reason why they do the sexual thing is I was at a grocery store one day, and you know me, I mean, with my happy, big, you know, just, you know, nice guy self in public. And a preacher dude came up to me, not knowing I was a comedian, and said, they started talking to me about his church. And they started saying, well, do you have sexual thoughts? I'm like, is this motherfucker asking me about my dick in Fred Meyer? You know, in the grocery store? Okay. And so that's how they do it. If they can convince you that you are not supposed to have sexual thoughts, which are natural to you as a human being, and that only he can help you get rid of those, he got you.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Exactly.
What you into, son?
But the thing is that that's why the issues now is with all of these preachers and pastors getting caught up in these sexual scandals because they can't live up to it. And so then I get to looking at the congregation because in many cases these are very open secrets in these churches. They've just been taught to be silent and to not say anything. But if your pastor or your ministerial leader or your, you know, Christian leader, if they can't live up to what they're telling you to do, why are you listening to these people?
Right, yeah. You know, the Barna survey and I forget the other one. The Schaefer survey, both very the Schaefer survey is really, really conservative, found that 40% of all evangelical ministers admit, of course this is anonymous, but they admit to having had an affair with a church member or having had an affair since they became a minister. And that's probably underreported. Yeah, it's probably underreported. But I've seen
if you're around all these people all the time, you know who believes and who don't believe. You know who believes the most. You know who's going to turn their back and not care what you do to their kids because you are connected to their salvation more than their kids are. Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Like, that's why, I mean, it's sick.
I call it the guilt cycle. And it's if you can make somebody feel guilty about something, especially something they're going to do anyway, like masturbate or have sex outside of marriage or have sex before marriage, you can make them feel guilty about it. Then they've got to come back to get forgiveness. And you'll notice they have to come back to get forgiveness from the very place they learned the guilt in the first place. So if you're a Baptist, you got to come back to the Baptist church to get forgiven. I don't know any Baptists that go to Catholic priests and confess their sins. I don't know any Catholics that go to Muslims to confess their sins. The only place you can get forgiveness for your sins is the place you learned the guilt in the first place. And that's why sexual guilt is so important to any religious community. But it's incredibly important, it appears to be, at least from my research, in the Black community. Very important. Yeah.
So definitely. You know, and it is sexually repressive. You know, that is correct. And, again, with the HIV rates, you know, pretty much exploding in our community, that's why, me personally, I don't understand why the church, the Black church in particular, isn't doing more outreach for HIV and AIDS. Not only doing outreach as far as, you know, educating people about prophylactics and birth control and things of that nature, but the people that have, you know, acquired HIV or may have full-blown AIDS, why do they not have hospices? Because in many cases, there are quite a few members of their congregation that, you know, maybe dealing with that. Where does the responsibility come? Where does their responsibility come with the people that have been giving them money and support and all of that? I don't understand.
Well, if you refuse,
if you're doing the prosperity sermon, then it's about money. You know, if you went and started trying to help people, you'd have to keep helping people, and then people keep asking for some help.
Right.
If you reduce the guilt, if you find ways to reduce the guilt around sexuality, you'll actually lose your religion. Because the religions who have the least amount of sexual guilt are the ones that have grown the least. And in the Black community, if you look at the most educated Blacks and the most well-off, the most middle class, the least religious, just put those together, those people are having fewer children. And they have fewer STIs, they have fewer abortions, they have fewer unwanted pregnancies. So the solution is to get rid of the church, basically, and that's a bad message for the church.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
When you look at the world's problems, you go, what's the world's problems? Okay, it's this. Well, religion is right there at the top as the causer. Just like the guy today was talking about how somebody shouldn't be studying DNA because that's God made that. And I'm like, hey, man, please don't mix up your one book self and try and tell what all of the rest of us who read multiple books, what we should be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know.
You got
ideas for us.
He probably still believes the earth is flat, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, I have a new rule this year. If someone cannot tell me what a scientific method is, they can't talk science with me. If they never took a chemistry 101 class, they never took a biology 101 class, if they don't know what a nucleus, a cell, a protein, and ATP, I can't debate with them about science. I'm like, you can debate with me about the Bible, but science, you'll probably look stupid. Sorry.
Exactly.
Stay in one book. Yeah, you one of those one bookers. You're a one book bitch. Right? Sit your one book bitch ass down. You know, shut up.
One book bitch.
Yeah, you know, I'm talking about it. Then, like, when they're talking, you go, wait a minute. Is the one booker trying to tell us what to do? They got to be talked to like that. They are like children who don't know shit.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, what I've learned, and I think me and Kim talked about this, like, I've been researching for years now, but I only came out, this would be my first year as like an atheist, just coming out saying, no, I don't believe. And what I found, the better responses is coming off not so aggressive, but just trying to stay positive. Like, what I always do is, okay, that's the way you think. But do you think that other people think other ways and they're okay? Like, I have to almost talk to them like children, like you suggested.
Yeah.
but I got to be nice because I'm already a big dude and I already look intimidating. So that's what they expect.
Well, you do it
so when I come off, so when I come off nice, they're just like, okay, well, he's kind of leading by example a little bit. I mean, and I always tell them, atheists are not a group. It's the answer to one question. We believe many different things. That's why we collaborate, and that's how we learn. But it's the answer to one question. That's all. So,
you know, there are some atheists that are racist. There are some atheists that are still mixed up in all kind of different things. You know what I mean? Stupid. There are some races that are greedy, non-sharing, got reasons for other people to not have health care person. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's all different levels.
Yeah,
exactly.
So.
Exactly. You have, you know, a bunch of different people out here. And, again, our commonality is the, you know, non-belief in the theist deity, period. That is the one thing. And then we may have other interests in common, but that is the one thing that binds, you know, atheists together, the non-belief that there is a God.
Yeah, and I also, like, I also think that, I don't know, as a society, we're taught that certain words are just wrong, like the word ignorant. Like, when you call someone ignorant, it's not an insult. It's not. Like, I'm ignorant about some things, but I learn, so I won't be ignorant about it. And how I usually do this, I'll say the definition first. I'm like, do you know what that is? They're like, what? I'm like, that's being ignorant. And they won't take it as bad. Like, if I say the definition first and then the word, I'm like, oh, okay, I can see that a little bit. I'm like, ignorance is ignoring the evidence. Just look at it like that. You're ignoring the evidence. Like, if I say, if we're in a, we are both outside and it's a sunny day, and you're ignoring the evidence and say it's cold, you're being ignorant. It's like I have to break it down shotgun style pretty much. But it helps.
Yeah, it's willful.
That's a good one.
It's willful. So, you know, Daryl, with your studies here, you know, the way you've been going and, you know, putting together your book here, and to you, you know, just your opinion on this right here, what do you believe it will take for us to get through to the church, particularly the black church? Because, you know, again, you know, we have the same issues in the black church and the white church. However, in the black community, the church has a different meaning in many respects because, you know, the social construct behind it, in many cases, if people are shunned from their church, like they lose family, friends, everything they've known. So it's like their whole world is imploding. So what can we do to get through?
Well, I'm a white guy, so I'm not going to pretend to be able to give anybody else advice. So. but I will say this. I am just thrilled to see what's going on. I mean, this very show right now is evidence. We didn't see this going on 3 years ago, certainly not 5 years ago. And you see all these black freethinker meetup groups, like, you know, in Atlanta and what Mendissa's doing down there and what Donald – I love this, what Donald Wright's doing and opening, you know, the Solidarity Day. I just think that's awesome. But I think what's going to happen, this question goes way back to my early childhood when I was studying about slavery. And I grew up right in the middle of the civil rights movement. I even remember in Nashville, when I got there for graduate school, they still had, you know, whites only signs. They weren't enforcing anymore, but the signs were still up there. So I remember growing up in this and thinking, and then looking around Nashville and seeing every corner has a church, and in the black community, every two churches on every corner, just about. It was, and I'm thinking to myself, why is the black community worship the God of the oppressor? What's going on here?
Do you have the answer?
Yeah, I have an answer, but I'm curious. What's yours?
My father told me that in the North, there are places where you could be free, but only if you were Christian. So that was like in the early, early 1800s. So it would end up being three generations until slavery was abolished, they would forget after three generations that they had to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they would... And then they would just be, and then that's why when black folks are sitting in the church and they're singing and dancing, and it looks like they really believe it, they do.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
really
they do.
Do.
Right. Well,
I think that's probably a good answer. I would have an addition to it. I'm sure it's an addition. It's not instead of. It's just another way to look at it, and that's the Stockholm syndrome. Are you familiar with Stockholm syndrome?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, well, that's when the captive identifies with their captor so strongly they actually start defending them and adopting their belief system. Well, that's kind of what happened here. The captives adopted the belief system of the oppressor. So I think it's got something to do with the Stockholm syndrome, but I also think what you described is right on target, too. It's probably a lot to do with that as well.
Well, it's a combo. They believe it, really? Well, if this will set me free, I'll believe it more than you do.
Yeah,
I'll believe your shit more than you do.
Yeah,
I gotta take off. I'm gonna help somebody move. But can I hit y'all with a quick Ingersoll?
Yeah,
sure.
Robert Greene Ingersoll said he was a friend of Frederick Douglass. Oscar Wilde said he was the smartest man in America. Walt Whitman said that nobody else other than Ingersoll could speak at his funeral. Ingersoll said, "Who can overestimate the progress of the world if all the money wasted in superstition could be used to enlighten and elevate and civilize mankind?" Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Excellent.
That's from Some Mistakes of Moses. Have a great day, y'all. This was wonderful.
Yeah.
All right, Travis, happy birthday. And Travis is from Funny to the Moon. You can find him on Blog Talk Radio as well. They have, you know, a huge catalog. So go over there and take a look. Funny to the Moon, and this is Mr. Travis Simmons. Happy birthday, dear.
Thank you very much,
Kim.
Find me at facebook.com/thebigfunny, all one word. Hey, I really want to read this book. Tell me your name, the title of your book again.
It's Sex and God, How Religion Distorts Sexuality. It's not going to be released till January 30th, so look on it. You can get it on Amazon January 30th.
Fantastic.
All right.
I'll make sure I post it on my wall so everybody can find it as well, because it sounds like it's going to be a really great book. I'm looking forward to reading it.
Yeah, well, every church gets examined for its sexual practices. Nobody's ever written about this before, as far as I can tell.
Well, here, let me ask you this one about that before I take off, because I got a quick one on that. I said to the crowd the other night, I said, hey, it don't take no genius to be no pedophile on some children. If I wanted to do that, I would start a church, I'd build my flock, I'd start doing the anti-gay sermon, right? And then on the weekends, I'd have un-gay youth seminars. And then when you came to me for help.
Oh, wow.
All right, I'm playing with your dick.
Hey, you got the formula. That's
easy.
Perfect.
That's tight, right? And that's
you
what a comedian
a
does. Comedian takes it and breaks it down. Y'all have it, take it easy.
Yeah.
All right.
Goodbye, Reverend.
Hey, Kim.
Yes.
Hello, Kim.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I wanted to answer your question, like, what will it take to convince the black church? I think we talked about this probably two shows ago, but it's in effect now. It's a slower process. I think it'll be a slower process than the civil rights movement, but it's happening now. You have more people coming out. You have more people questioning religion. So I think it's happening now.
Exactly.
I think what you've got is groups. Support groups, you know, the thing the black church gives people is social support. And if you create black freethinker groups in the area that can provide that social support, you're going to at least give people the opportunity to go somewhere that's friendly and will help support,
exactly,
just like the church does. And I think that's, you're seeing that growing all over the place. I mean, aren't you seeing that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you're right, and I've been saying that for the past couple of years to the people in the free thought community. If we were to, you know, pull these people away from the churches, then exactly what do we have to offer them? Because it's important, because, again, it's their social construct. They need that support system. They need that support base, and we have to be able to give it back. And not only that, being able to recognize, because, you know, again, you know, I just see a bevy, you know, really a myriad of different issues, And we need to be able to identify some of these issues and refer people to the appropriate parties to help them in whatever the situation is.
And we need some models out there. And I think we're starting to see some models. And, you know, we're seeing books like the Kivu Hutchinson's book on moral combat. It's an awesome
great book.
And Donald Wright's book about his own life. I met Donald when I was in Houston on my own book tour. And he came up to me, as many people do, you know, they want to talk to me, and he handed me this book and says, I think you'll like this. And, you know, it took me a while. I get so many books. I probably have a dozen books that people have handed me, you know, that they've published. I haven't got time. But finally, I got on the airplane. I flew home. I couldn't put that little book down. I thought, dang, this is the first African-American I've ever read that told it just like I see it, too, in terms of the way religion impacts people. But you're seeing this, and you're seeing books come out. And, you know, 5 years ago, even 3 years ago, if you go to an atheist convention, it was all a bunch of white guys, just like me.
Right.
Standing up there and talking about stuff. And now you go to a convention, and you'll see Sakivu Hutchinson, you'll see Jamila Bey, and you'll see Donald Wright, you'll see faces of color, all sorts of, and you'll see Asian, you'll see a whole plethora of people.
Yes.
Okay. So the whole community is thriving, and I think we're and, you know, I just love it. I'm so thrilled. There's very few times in our lifetime you get to be on the cutting edge of something. And I think you guys are on the cutting edge of something.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. And you're right. And, you know, again, we have to, you know, that's why we're working toward cutting down the stereotypes and the generalities and taking away the taboo, not only from being a non-believer, but in other areas of life. And, again, you know, it's just fantastic. And last year, you know, Mandy and I, we talk all the time, and we were talking about how last year was an adventure for us, and we just know this year is going to be an even bigger adventure, but not just for us, but for everybody, because I believe 2012, I believe this is going to be a breakout year for quite a few minorities in free thought. And that's why, you know, we're encouraging everyone to move forward with their projects. They have questions, they can hit us up. I have people inboxing me all the time, and we go back and forth. I created my group here in Chicago, Black Nonbelievers of Chicago, and we had an informal impromptu meeting last night putting together for the Day of Solidarity. And we have another one coming up in 2 weeks. The official first meeting for the Black Nonbelievers of Chicago is at the end of the month. So we want to make sure we get active, we stay active, we're working with some ideas, and we just encourage everyone out there, you know, bring it to your city, bring it to your town. You know, we're here. You have a support base. You know, we're here to give you information that we have. In some cases, we'll all learn together. And the main thing to understand is that if you make a mistake, it's okay. Just try again.
Yeah.
And I predict in 20 years, as this movement grows, you're going to see a tremendous improvement in the academic achievement in the African-American community. Because I think the Black church is one of the worst offenders at interfering with good education.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I could make an elaborate argument about that, but just getting away from religion allows people to start thinking bigger. When I hear ministers, white and black alone, talking about creationism as if it was real, it's just, you know, it's crazy. and if you believe the earth is 6,000 years old, then you're ignoring a hell of a lot of other evidence as well. Not just around geology, but you aren't going to listen to your medical doctor, and you're not going to encourage your kids to go to medical school or study physics or something. Yeah.
Once I get into debates like that, like I said, I always have to point out definitions, because I think people, they somewhat understand words, but they don't understand that it has tags to them also. Like when you say knowledge, that's knowing. You have to provide evidence, that's making a claim. And people don't understand that belief does not, and I always have to like say this, what is true or what is evident does not require your belief.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we want people to know.
Not understand.
It's, Yeah, yeah, and we want people to know, you know, believers, non-believers, but in particular believers, it's okay to ask questions. I encourage believers to ask questions, not only for, you know, questions to us, but questions to their other fellow believers. It's important that they, you know, get clarity, clarify things, get understanding, because, again, that's the only way they'll be able to learn, they'll be able to evolve, and then also in some cases, it'll show them that many of the people in their leadership really do not have answers. They don't know either. They don't know either. And it's just
that's
big
true.
Con game.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know,
creation.
Something
occurred
to me, something. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Never mind. I was going to change the subject a little, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, I was just going to say creation is always interesting trying to argue, because the first thing they'll say is, you know, I just can't believe that we just poof came up from a monkey. And I was like, it almost sounds ridiculous as we just poof out of dust.
Yeah. Oh, we had to shut someone down yesterday because he was calling evolution, number one, evolution, and he was trying to say we evolved from monkeys, and we basically, you know, encouraged him to go and study what evolution actually is, because he was making mistakes all over the place, and in situations like that, there's no need to go back and forth, because it doesn't matter what type of information you present, they are going to take the antithesis. So, you know, it's an exercise in futility. But if you encourage them to go and educate themselves, again, it's called planting of seeds. You put the information in their head. And even as they're trying to find a counter argument to our particular argument, they're thinking about it, and they're going to research in some cases, but they're going to be educated while they're researching. That's what we're trying to do. Again, we're here to challenge them to think and live for themselves, not convert them. We want them to go read the material. Go read some science. Go read some history.
Yeah.
Understand. Yes.
Yeah, that's the time where
do it with information.
Yeah, that's the time where you put the definition out there first and then put the answer with it. Like when I argued evolution, is that, well, do you believe in evolution? I always say evolution doesn't require my belief. It doesn't.
Yeah.
And I always have to point out that, like, I give the definition first, then give the word. I'm like, do you agree that over time things change? Like, yeah, of course. I'm like, well, that's evolution in a nutshell. So that's one thing, because you always get antagonists and they just want to debate against it. But that's how a good way you can show someone, or as you say, plant a seed. It'll give the definition first and then give the word. And it was like, wow, I guess I do.
Hey, Kimberly, could I throw a little something different in here for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
3 years ago, I started an organization called Recovering from Religion. Have you heard of it?
I heard a little bit about it, and I actually wanted to speak to you a little bit later about that.
Oh, well, I'm ready to talk about it.
Go ahead.
About in October, I've been working at it. I've been leading it for almost 3 years, and I just couldn't keep up with it because I write and I've got other responsibilities in life. But I was able to turn it over to a former Pentecostal minister, Jerry DeWitt, who will be speaking at the Reason Rally. He's going to be speaking and he's the first graduate of the clergy project that Dan Barker and Dan Dennett have to bring ministers who are atheists out of the pulpit. Are you familiar with that one, too?
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, at the Reason Rally, aren't you all going to have an in-the-closet atheist preacher speak?
Yeah, I know. I'm talking to that particular preacher even as I've talked to him several times, helping him, coach him, for the process. But, yeah, so I started this because what I heard was lots of people saying, I need some help. I need a group to go to. And a lot of atheists and freethinker groups, they've been atheists or freethinkers for years. They don't really want to hear the story again, you know, of how terrible it was and how I'm having trouble with my mother-in-law or how my kids are thinking I'm terrible or whatever. So I started this group, and it's meetings all over the United States. We've got about 25 meetings now, and we're growing very rapidly. What I would like to see is some of your listeners contact me or contact Jerry DeWitt, and let's get some black recovering from religion groups going. Ben Burchall in Atlanta's got a group going, and I think Mendissa's been participating in that in some way. But there's plenty of room for us to assist people into leaving religion. And I think there's very special need in the African-American community because that community is the single most religious group in the United States. This is a trivia question. Besides nuns and priests, are black women. They're the most religious group. They're the ones that go to church more than any other group.
And that is true.
So when Jamila Bey decided to leave her religion, she paid hell for it. And I know I've talked to a lot of other African-Americans that told me the same thing. You pay hell for it. And what I want to do is create a safe place for people to come in and talk about, okay, how do I deal with these emotional and psychological problems?
Exactly.
And it's like, we call it RR, but it's kind of like AA, only we found that if you take God out of it, you only need 10 steps.
Exactly. No, you know what, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, if you go back way in archives from, you know, June, July of last year, I was talking about the same thing. And I wanted to start a support group, you know, for, you know, believers that have just left, you know, religion, and even with some of the, you know, black non-believers, to kind of get them the help and help them. But going back to the believers, you know, that have just left religion or even some of the ones that are still in religion, again, you know, with some of the things that I've seen and that I've experienced, basically it seems as though they cultivate and foster an environment of dysfunction. And see, where the gray area comes in is, again, as I say, the dysfunction has become so commonplace that it is now deemed normal. So
going back and
redefining, you know, what is normal, what is abnormal. And, you know, I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, I would love to participate in your program there because I've been saying this and I have quite a few ideas. And, you know, I can contact you a little bit later and we can talk and I can run some things by you as far as some of the ideas that I have and things that I believe that will work well if they were implemented and, you know, moving forward, because I think that's very important. And in a lot of cases, again, what I've seen with, you know, some of the church folks is I've seen bipolar disorder and schizophrenia being downplayed.
Yeah.
They will tell them not to go and get the mental health, you know, care that they need and tell them that God will deliver them or that those are demons and they can be prayed out. In the meantime, these people, you know, their quality of life has totally diminished. They, you know, especially with the bipolar people, when they go into a manic episode, you know, I've seen this in a couple of cases where you see them running and jumping and shouting all over the church. They're trying to cover up for a manic episode. So we need to be able to understand this and understand the psychology behind religion because, you know, again, when I see some of these people take our comments personally, I go back and I think about why they're taking it personal. So many of them have left drugs, alcohol, whoring, what have you, and they went to the church and they feel as though they left that life behind. That's called codependence transference. And so,
you're a good psychologist.
Say that again.
You're a good psychologist.
Yeah, you know, but, I mean, if you take their Jesus away, they feel like they have no choice but to go back to, you know, what they left, you know, whatever dysfunction that was, or find a new one. And, you know, I just think it's important that we address these things. And it's okay. We have to let people know that we love and accept them as who they are, where they are, and what they are. It's important. People want to be accepted and validated in some way. So it's just interesting.
Hey, Kim.
I love that, and I think that's exactly where we ought to be, Kim. I'm glad to hear that. Well, you contact me or have somebody in your group or any of your listeners, you can contact us at recoveringfromreligion.org, and Sarah or Jerry will immediately get back to you, and we'll help you. We got all sorts of resources to help you get started, and we've got web presence, and we'll even help you put a Facebook page up for your group. We'll do whatever we can to help you get going. And we're a total nonprofit. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. So we're all set up to do that.
All right, Jim, that is great. Do you mind? Well, I'll hit you up in the inbox, and we'll go from there. But, yeah, okay. Definitely, you know, because we're putting, like I said, for Black Nonbelievers of Chicago, which I'll be referring to as BNOC, basically, you know, we're putting everything together. We're meeting, you know, we're brainstorming, we're putting together our think tank, and we'll be applying for our 501c3 late this spring, early summer. And, you know, this is one of the programs that we want to bring on board, and that's why we're brainstorming now, because we have different things that we want to do, and we want to make sure that we do it correctly. So we want to make sure that we have the pillars laid so that, you know,
you can create a recovering from religion group affiliated with us, and we'll support you however we can. That's just the way it works.
Yeah. Well, guys, that was Mr. Daryl Ray from Recovering from Religion. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them on the web. They're looking for outlets in different cities, so contact them so that you can bring one of the groups and become an affiliate in, you know, in your particular city, because it's needed. It's definitely needed. And, Daryl, we appreciate all that you've done. I'm looking forward to your book.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting me talk, and we'll talk again.
Yes, Daryl, anytime. The door is open anytime you want. Just let us know when the book is released. Maybe we can schedule you to come out, you know, and we'll put you on the calendar so you can talk a little bit more. But I want to have a chance to read it so I can talk to you about it a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Look, January 13th, Sex and God, How Religion Distorts Sexuality. It'll January 30th, it'll come out. So we'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
Thank you, Daryl. Bye-bye.
All right, see
you.
Bye.
That is fantastic, guys. You know, I'm just looking forward to that. We have a couple of callers on the line. Let's bring them into the conversation. Area code 214. May we ask who's calling?
Hey, this is Sandra.
Hey, Sandra.
Hello. So I've been listening, and I said I wasn't going to call in, but I was like, okay, well, let me just call in. I was listening, and I mean, and I hear a lot of good things, but I just hear, you know, because actually, you know, I'm down south, and, you know, I grew up north, and, you know, it's just very different. And how, you know, when I hear a lot of people say, oh, well, you need to get away from religion, get away from religion. I mean, that may be one thing, but I mean, down south, it is so intertwined in the fabric of the community.
That's right.
You know, there is no public transportation down here. There is no such thing.
Right.
I mean, and then on top of that, you couple that with, you know, like your cultural community, like the Black community. Well, hell no, I'm not going to alienate, you know, my church. Because, you know
right.
what? I mean, if y'all, and see, this is the thing. It's like, if y'all really want to make some impact, then get some goddamn child care. You know, like, and then, like, I mean, you don't have to call it, like, atheist child care or nothing. But, just, I mean, you know, or, like, some homeless shelters. You know, so focus on that. And, you know, because it's like, yeah, you can get, you know, like, at one point in the conversation, people were talking about, well, you know, like, the codependency, you know, like where you, what is it, transference of codependence or whatever.
Right.
I mean, well, yeah, because people are searching for community. And so I've even gotten in touch with certain groups where I'm like, hey, you know, I'm down here, I'm by myself, like, what the hell do I do? And then they're like, oh, well, we'll get in touch with you again. And then they never get in touch with me. And so it's like, well, you know, oh,
well.
I mean, I think that's the main thing. It's about building, I mean, you have to build community in another way. I don't think that's codependent. It's showing that as a society, you know, we're interdependent. I mean, obviously we're interdependent. But if you really want to make an impact, I mean, of course, you know, like, you all were even talking about the epidemic of single Black mothers. Well, I had a friend come down and live with me, and the first thing that she did was go and find a church. Because, you know, she knows that in a church, she can get the food. She knows that she can get some child care when she goes to work. You know?
Right.
And so it's
right.
like setting up a system so then that way you can survive. Because there is no such, I mean, really, I mean, especially down here, you'll hear about all that stuff about, oh, you know, get, you know, even Newt Gingrich had commented something like, yeah, Black people need to get off welfare. I mean, just all that bullshit. You know, this thing is so angry. And it's like when I see these mothers, what they have to do in order to try to survive. Well, yeah, I mean, the churches are part of that social, it's part of the economic fabric. And so, hell yeah, I'm gonna go back to that church. I'm gonna, what? I need to pray Jesus? Oh, yeah, in Jesus' name, amen. Give me some of that.
Kim, can I comment on that, Kim?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I can only speak from my experience, but when I was just researching and I was kind of in the closet atheist, I used to volunteer at a church because they fed the hungry. And, you know, I admired that because, you know, that's very moral. I mean, these people are poor. I mean, when you go down there, you smell all type of smells. But the thing is, they didn't feed them until after the message, after the sermon. And that didn't sit well with me because you have to, I guess, get fed spiritually before you ate real food. And I said to myself, what is it for me to take $60 and go to the grocery store and get water and get food myself? I know where homeless people are and do it myself without indoctrinating them and without putting a message in them. Hey, I'll accept their God bless yous and everything like that, but I can do that and know that I helped someone out and I didn't force something onto them. So me, I can understand what she's saying or whatever because it's so community, you know, community oriented. But it's a lot of churches that's not like that, that they charge for daycare. They may charge cheap, but you have to understand, churches don't pay taxes.
Exactly.
Right.
No, that's exactly it.
But
I mean, you're talking like you don't have kids. I don't know. Do you have kids?
Yes, I have a daughter, and I pay daycare and everything, and I understand what you're saying, but it's just what Kim was saying. If we get people to depend, people already are dependent on the church now spiritually and for financial needs too, or, you know, little services that they may offer. But if we offer that too, don't you think that that's another way of codependency?
Offer what?
Well,
offer like
yes
offering
no.
child care?
Yeah.
Well, okay, let me interject real quick. Let me interject because, you know, I see where you're both coming from, and, you know, I'm going to address Sandra first. Number one, if you write me at blackfreethinkers@gmail.com, tell me where you are, I'll plug you in. Okay, I'll direct you to the right place. So, again, that's blackfreethinkers@gmail.com. All right, now, to respond to what you said earlier, Sandra, again, that's one of the questions that I've posed to the free thought non-believing community as well. Again, if we take these people out of religion, what do we have to offer them? Well, Sandra, today is your lucky day because people in the free thought community, you know, they have been taking this serious. You will see, again, for the people that like to fellowship and convene, you see free thought fellowships popping up all over the country. There's one in Atlanta. I know it's one in Dallas. There's one in Los Angeles. There's one here in Chicago as well. In addition to that, I understand what you're talking about, the homeless shelters and the daycare and all of that. Trust and believe it's coming. You got to give us some time to put it together. It's coming. It's coming. There's a reason why many of us are applying for 501c3s. We are getting ready to implement some of the very things that you're stating. And, again, we know that we have to be able to offer some type of social construct, some type of social services. All the things that we've been pointing the finger at religious people and asking them why they haven't done it, we have now realized that we can no longer necessarily point the finger at them. We have to go and do it ourselves. But you all have to give us some time. You have to give us some time. We're doing it. It's coming. Trust and believe it's coming. And now I understand, and it's a lot more, you know, to the situation than, you know, just the very basic premise that I presented. And I understand that. And earlier when I was talking about codependency transference, I was more so referring to drug and alcohol addiction, sex addiction, and things of that nature. So when someone says that God delivered them from alcohol or drugs, you know, they were saved by the blood of the Lamb or Jesus or what have you. When they lose that Jesus, when we attack that Jesus, it's like we're attacking them because they've placed all of their hope, beliefs, everything on the church and on that Jesus because they are no longer doing the lifestyle that they found, you know, abhorrent, you know, or what have you. So when we attack religion, that's why they take it personal. And when they leave religion, in some cases, they go right back to whatever it was they were doing. And that's where the freedom from religion comes into play. If we have the right counseling and the right groups in place, and we can refer these people to counselors or rehab programs or what need you, then it will help them so that they will understand that they have an alternative. There is another option. So, again, yeah. You know, as we were talking last night, you know, me and some of the guys, you know, sometimes we have to get them to think out of the vortex, if you will. You know, I give that to Reggie, but that is correct. We have to take them out of their general mindset and show them that there is a little world outside of their bubble. So it's coming.
Another alternative to faith, yeah.
Exactly.
That's the way I put it, another alternative to faith. And it wasn't like to call, I guess, you know, child care and services that the church offer as an addiction or anything. I just use it as an example because the way she stated it was that, you know, a lot, you have a lot of people that attend church or use the church's services. And, I mean, and that's all I was saying, that a secular movement, you know, yes, they should be able to offer those type of services, but it shouldn't be as a dependent. That's
right.
All I was saying. Like, yes, I would love free child care, of course.
Right. We don't want to create another environment in which they can become codependent on that, because I've told people before,
right.
if people were to start placing, you know, others in place of their pastor, in place of their Jesus, or, you know, again, that
yeah.
Savior complex, these people need to walk away, especially in the free thought in a non-believing community, because, again, we don't want them, you know, making our programs or making our people their new saviors. That's going, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. Basically, when they start doing that, you know, replacing it, those people aren't being helped.
Yep.
And, again, we're here to help them, not to throw money necessarily at the problem, but to help these people find a solution to the problem. And I think that's important for us to differentiate and to understand individually and collectively that we're here to help these people achieve independence. Independence, you know, psychologically, independence financially, independence in every way possible. You know, you don't want someone to depend on you in that respect as far as codependence is concerned, because it's extremely unhealthy and it's counterproductive.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, the structure just has to be put in place. And I think that there also has to be a greater mindset and awareness that this is not just, I mean, obviously y'all know, you know, historically, how long, you know, things have been in place. You know, I think the comedian guy, he talked about how, you know, there was even some places up front, like up north, where you could be free, but only if you were at a church, you know. So, I mean, it's so ingrained in society, and it's important. Like, yes, you can teach somebody how to, you know, start to kind of inquire and, you know, kind of wonder about things. But then it's like, then what? And so, like, there's, like, no, I mean, and yes, you may say, like, it's coming, but it's so important to have that that structure in place, because if not, then people will be like, well, where else do I go, you know? It's not about being dependent. You know, one of the things I like to say is that it's, definitely not, you know, we're not dependent on anything. We're not independent. We're not independent. We're all interdependent. You know, when I hear the evangelicals talk about, you know, creationism and, like, there is no such thing as global warming or climate change or evolution is a lie. When I hear things like that, I mean, that shit scares me. I mean, it's really, really scary, because, you know, they try to use that apologetic bullshit, and then they, you know, it's infiltrated not just into politics. I mean, you hear it all the time, you know, even despite the fact that, you know, our Constitution says that, you know, we may, you know, there will be no religious test for public office. I mean, you know, you heard it the other day on the Republican primaries. I mean, they were all standing up there. It's like, well, what do you believe? I mean, like, why the fuck do you need to tell somebody what you believe? You know, there is no religious test. But they don't want to, you know, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. And they try to get, try to get science or they try to get science or have their mind wrap around something that fits into their one book bitchness. I love that. I'm going to start using that.
There you go.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Well, we have another caller on the line. I think this is area code 904. Are you there? Let's see here. Oh, 904. Hold on a second here. I guess I hit the wrong button. Are you there, 904?
Yes, 904 is here. This is Dr. Bear from Emotions Are Us. What? You guys are off the hook today. It is just so refreshing, so passionately refreshing to hear intelligent commentary, intelligent just, you guys are making my day as a host, Kim. Hostess, you are off the hook. The way you're handling the show, how you're answering these callers, and then the people who are coming on and speaking. I love that. I'm with the other girl. I'm going to use that one book bitch thing again. If you see it as a blog, don't nobody try to go to Dr. Bell's Mental Health and say, you heard it on whose show? No, I didn't, but I'm going to use that. A one book bitch. This is so good. There's so many things that I could say. And I was listening to the show. I had no intent on calling in because, I mean, you guys are carrying it. I mean, there were several moments. And for me to say that, you know, hey, I can't add anything to that, that's mind-blowing. So that was mind-blowing to me. How be so ever, as my Nana would say, I did want to put my two cents in about religion and mental health. Since I am a licensed mental health counselor, nationally certified counselor, certified assault psychotherapist, hit us up on Google, Dr. Bev. So I've got the background to respond to this in a clinical fashion because I wanted to add, as you all have been giving out, the facts. But I also want the audience to hear it from a clinician to back you up. May
please.
I?
Yes, ma'am.
You are correct. In many of the churches, period, and it's just not black churches, it's white churches too. It's church, it's religion, period. Religion. I didn't say spirituality, I said religion. Discourages you to not look at your mental health illness. So therefore, yes, you are correct. You have many in the church, including some pastors, who are underdiagnosed, overdiagnosed, and this is Dr. Bev talking. I got the statistics to prove it. Many are not diagnosed at all. You are looking at people standing in front of you on that pulpit telling you that they are hearing and seeing things from God. Sweetie, if you came to me, I would have to say what? If God talked to you 52 times, you got a direct message. No, Tim Tebow, I'm not messing with you today. If you got a direct message from God 52 times a day and you are him, excuse me, pastor, we need to talk about a clinical disorder because you're having hallucinations and delusions. Watch yourself. So again, the diagnosis, the pressure to not take your medication. Well, if you were to pray a little bit harder, sister, you wouldn't have that symptom. You wouldn't need to take your medication. Well, you know, if you're going to believe in a God theory, you know, let's take the fable all the way there. If God created you in goodness, I'm sure he could have created me, a psychotherapist like me, who is not only beautiful, intelligent, and a geek, and I'm here to make it fashionably chic. Are you telling me God made a mistake on me? Oh, I didn't think so. So act like you know. Mental health therapists, professionals like me, were put here for a reason. So check that. I wanted to be very supportive of that. And not only that, that, you know, Dr. Bev has a saying. Some people do drugs. Some people do shoes. Some people do money. Some people do sex. Hey, baby, don't get mad if you smoke, God. Don't get mad if God is your husband. I'm just saying. You do you, Juicy. But don't blame everything then if that's what you're doing. Okay, if that's what your drug of choice is, God. If that's what you're doing, and as a gentleman said, most of the church is made up of women. Y'all think about that all the way, okay? But let me get back to my point. If you are hooked on drugs, if you, anything, you would go to a substance abuse facility. You would do something. You would put, if you had a child that was hooked on a certain substance, hydrocodone, whatever, you would find some services for them. You would want them to get help. Baby, I'm so glad to hear this program because you know what? It's not a pill to help ignorance and denial. But you know what? I can tell them, if you're smoking God, if that's your drug of choice, I got a referral for you. You might want to listen to this show that I'm talking on right now. I'm very proud of you guys. Keep doing what you're doing, and that's all I got to say. I'm out.
Well, thank you very much.
I like, yeah. She's pretty cool.
Thought I was interesting.
I'm on vinyl records.
Is wonderful.
Huh? That's my drug, vinyl records.
Okay, Mr. Spin Master, huh?
Yeah, no, I don't even DJ. I just listen to them, and then what is it? Audiobooks too. I think I'm becoming addicted to audiobooks.
Excellent. Everybody has something, you know. Audiobooks, you know, albums, you know, German chocolate cake, whatever. Everybody.
Wow.
Everyone has some addiction, and you know, I wanted to address Sandra again real quick. Sandra, we didn't forget about you. And, you know, did you have anything else that you wanted to input?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm getting something to eat. I'm listening.
I'm on the phone. So, no, I'm listening. It's really, really good. No. Yeah, I've been putting the phone on mute. I've ate. I washed clothes. Like, everything. I just put it on mute. I put
That's
it on
right.
mute when I do all that stuff. Yeah.
Right. You know, you just, like, put it on mute. Just keep going. Like, it's like, oh, okay. So, I wasn't going to try to listen.
No, nothing wrong with multitasking there. Use your time effectively, okay? And so that's what I'm saying. But no, it's just fantastic. And again, I believe that 2012 is going to be a breakout year for, you know, minorities in particular in the free thought community. And again, you know, many of us are no longer pointing the finger at the church. We are just going to start providing the services that we feel that the church should have implemented a long time ago. And, you know, personally, with, you know, some of the things that I'm putting forth, you know, we're definitely going to be reinvesting, you know, whatever, back into the organization, you know, whether it's money, resources, what have you, reinvesting it back into the organization. We will be doing community-based solutions. We will be doing outreach, if you will. And when I say outreach, basically we want to facilitate dialogue and communication with religious institutions so that we can get a better understanding and garner, you know, a better relationship with them, and so that they can ask questions, you know. There is no excuse for them to be willfully ignorant, if you will. There are quite a few of us around. We're growing, we're learning, we're evolving, and it's very important. And what I found interesting is, again, last week I spoke a little bit about the Harlem Renaissance, and, again, I would encourage go out and research the Harlem Renaissance. And, you know, there were quite a few black non-believers that participated in the Harlem Renaissance. a matter of fact, I was reading up on some things, and I'm actually looking for a movie. In 1932, 20 young black intellectuals traveled to Russia to make a movie, and the name of the movie is called Black and White. If anyone knows how to get a hold of that movie, please contact me. You know, I'll pay for it. That's not an issue, but I do want that. I really want to see that because me personally, you know, I'm going back into the history. I want to see what was happening then, you know, because there's no need to reinvent the wheel. So I want to see what they were talking about, you know, the different books, so on and so forth. But, again, I feel that we're on the emergence of another renaissance. And I just think it's important, again, for everyone, each and every last one of you to know that you all play a part. Each and every last one of you, you're very important, and we need you in one capacity or another. Yes, dear.
And, you know, before I would have disagreed with that statement, but I finally agree with that statement. Everyone does have to play a part. And if you've been noticing, like on my just Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, I've been putting a lot of stuff on there just to give information out and everything. And a few people have reached out and been asking questions. And I've just, you know, been telling them there's nothing wrong with asking questions, but I encourage you to research yourself because you'll
That's
get
right.
more enlightenment just in researching yourself. You can't even trust what I say. Like,
That's
if
right.
I give you something, I want you to research it so you can see
exactly.
and you can test its, you know, its efficiency, test the evidence. Like, the Bible itself, that's the only source. I mean, how you make sure that something is evident is you check for different sources. I always have to give examples of Thomas Jefferson. Like, there's newspaper clippings of Thomas Jefferson's. You can find them in many books. You have photos.
Right.
Can you do that for the Bible? And like, no.
Exactly.
Like, well, that's, yeah.
Exactly. No, it is very important. That's a wonderful thing. And, yes, and even with you, you know, posting and sharing that information, you are giving, you know, you're encouraging people to educate themselves. You're educating them because you're giving them a nugget of information and encouraging them to go out and, you know, research more. And in cases that people who want to refute what you're saying, you're encouraging them to do the research, you know, so that they can rebut whatever your premise was. However, while they're doing the research, they're being educated, whether they want to know it or not. So, exactly. So it's just interesting. And,
yeah.
Right. And it's just, you know, again, getting out there and being part of the community, even with that, you know, you're educating people, and it's important. And, you know, we have to move on from that. But, you know, next week, you know, I definitely want to talk about the civil rights movement. And in particular, I want to talk about Bayard Rustin. And Bayard Rustin is, he was a free thinker or a non-believer as well. And he was one of the, he was the foundation of the civil rights movement, if you will. A lot of people don't realize that the civil rights movement started out as a secular movement. And it was hijacked
really?
By the church, yes. And it was hijacked
wow.
by the church. And even though Martin Luther King was the figurehead of the civil rights movement, basically, Bayard Rustin was giving him his advice. You know, he was, you know, Martin Luther King's one of his advisors, one of his closest advisors. And Bayard Rustin studied, you know, under, you know, some of the people who worked with Gandhi and all of that. So that's where the nonviolent aspect of the civil rights movement came into play. The reason why Bayard Rustin couldn't necessarily be the, you know, the figurehead, if you will, he was a non-believer, he was gay. So it's just interesting. So we want to make sure we, every week, we want to educate people on the free thought community and the history of different people within the free thought community. And, again, answer some questions and, again, encourage people to go out there and research. So, again, research the Harlem Renaissance, research the beginnings of the civil rights movement. And next week we will be talking about Bayard Rustin, you know, again, wonderful man. And, again, I want to impress upon people, do not forget the people who pioneered the way, the people who kicked down the doors. We can't do that. In so many cases, we tend to throw people away. And these people, they have a rich history. They have invaluable information, and we can still glean a lot of information from them and apply it to modern times. And, again, there's no need to really go out and reinvent the wheel. So So, you know, I just encourage everyone, research, 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 study. It's important not only so that we can disseminate the information to, you know, believers who may have questions, but also within our community, because there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn. If you're going to be a part of this community, I believe that, you know, it would behoove you to know a little bit more about the community, understand the people that came before, you know, us. Like, again, you know, I talked about Zora Neale Hurston. Her birthday was earlier this week. And, you know, our topic, our Black free thinker or Black non-believer topic for our Day of Solidarity here in Chicago will be Lorraine Hansberry. Why? She was a, you know, a free thinker, a non-believer, and she's also here from Chicago. She's the one who wrote Raisin in the Sun. So a little bit more information and some history for you guys. So, you know, we would encourage you all to do that, especially on a Day of Solidarity. You know, pick an icon or someone, a legend, and, you know, research it, and then maybe you all can discuss that. If you can find someone that was in your area, fantastic. If not, there are plenty of other people out there for you to choose from. But we want you to educate yourself so that when you have believers walking up to you and making comments such as, what has the free thought community contributed to society as a whole? You know, again, you can tell them about Bill Gates, you know, if they didn't have the Windows OS on their computer, what would they do? You know,
oh,
many
Facebook.
Of them have... Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I always have to point that out. I'm just like, really? You know, do you know Facebook wouldn't even exist if I left without? Yeah, so, yeah. Never, you can't win. Because you know the argument I'll get back. Well, God inspired him to... create Facebook. I'm like, he didn't believe in God. The web pages that you put your prayers on and stuff, it was made by an atheist. Created by an atheist.
Exactly. But, yeah. So, again, you know, it's about educating people. And basically, you know, again, it's about growing personal growth. And, you know, the best example of evolution that I've seen and that I can give anyone is themselves. Look in the mirror. Do you look the same today as you looked, you know, 5 years ago? Do you believe you'll look the same 5 years from now as you look today? That is the best example of evolution that I can give any, you know, human being, any person, besides, you know, speaking about evolution, you know, the theory in general. But that's the number one thing. You know, people can relate to that because it's them. It's them. And sometimes you have to give them a real-life personal example.
Yeah, you do.
Exactly. So, you know, again, like I said to everyone out there, hey, you're doing a wonderful job. We're making an impact. And, you know, again, I really believe that this is a breakout year for us. And want to encourage you all to get out there, and those who have groups, another group, like I said, you know, Black Freethinkers of Kansas City, you have Black Nonbelievers in Atlanta there, you have Black Skeptics Group in Los Angeles, you have BAM, Black Atheists of America, which is Ayana's group, up in New York, and, you know, you have these different groups, you know, around. Even on Facebook, you can find Mario Stanton's book, Mario Stanton's club or his group there, which is Black Atheists, and, you know, Black Nonbelievers has a group too. Again, if you all contact, you know, me or Mandisa Thomas, or anybody here, you know, you have, you know, different people here, you contact us, and we will plug you in to the different groups. We're more than happy to answer questions. We do respond to our inboxes and all of that in the emails. And you can reach Mandisa. Her email address is mandisa@blacknonbelievers.org. Again, that's mandisa@blacknonbelievers.org. And my email address is blackfreethinkers@gmail.com. Again, that's blackfreethinkers@gmail.com. And even if you go to my page, blacknonbelieversofchicago.org, we have another email address up there if you want to ask about, you know, our organization, and there's also a contact us page, so that comes directly to me as well. So we encourage you all to ask questions and get out here and participate and get active, even if you're a closeted, you know, non-believer, and you can't necessarily participate in any of these groups as far as going out in any type of outreach, there are things that you can do. People that you know that aren't necessarily closeted, refer them to us, and we just want you to encourage you to continue to do your research, continue to learn, and, you know, grow yourself. And then one day, you know, when you're able to, maybe you will be able to come out of the atheist closet, if you will. But we just want to let you know that, you know, there's a big network of people is growing every day. We're learning from each other. We're growing with each other. We're sharing. And, you know, again, we're here for you. And it's so much coming down the line. And, again, I wanted to encourage Sandra. You know, it's coming, you know, the daycare and the homeless shelters and other types of outreach, you know, the HIV/AIDS outreach, which I'm a big advocate of. You know, definitely we need to get back into these communities because there are too many people dying from, you know, this particular disease when it's actually preventable. And it's just a little bit of education. And for those who may happen to have, you know, HIV or full-blown AIDS, you know, again, you know, looking at hospices and things so that they can rest comfortably, so that they can get the medical attention that they need. It's just, it's very important that we go in and rebuild our communities. And, again, you know, if we're going to take people away, we have to be able to offer them something. So we're just asking that you all be patient. It's coming. There are organizations out here. Again, you have the Freedom From Religious. So for those of you who need some type of mental health counseling, not only do we have Freedom From Religion, you have Dr. Bev there, and we have a host of others. Dr. Terrico, you know, she's there. She's a psychologist as well. You know, we have a host of different people. And, you know, we definitely wish you well. And if we can plug you into the right network, please let us know because we do care about you and we do want to see you healthy. We want to see you healthy and being able to stand on your own. And, you know, it's coming. So, you know, it's been fantastic. And, wow, Tracy, are you there? Okay, Tracy may be getting him some German chocolate cake right about now.
Hello.
Okay. All right, so Al, are there any groups down in Arizona there where you're located?
Yes, it's Freedom From Religion, and then they have we have another group, meet-up group. We just meet up for coffee and talk. It's, what is it, Phoenix Atheist. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. Like, as far as black groups, no. I think Mad Disa is trying to put that seed into me. She always talking about it. But I just, like, to be honest, I don't have, a whole bunch of time. I'm taking 12-hour shifts. And if I was to do something like that, I really would have to, you know, have the time to be down. I am,
right.
You know, I just my personal encounters is enough right now. And the funny thing is what we were talking about earlier about, I guess, the high percentage of women in church, that's the bulk of my encounters are women who are trying to convert me.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting, but yeah, no, I understand, you know, heading up these organizations and all of that, it takes quite a bit of time and dedication. And, you know, I try to impress upon people that it's a lot going on in the background, you know, besides trying to put together these organizations. Many of us still have careers and jobs and, you know, in some cases families, you know, whether it's, you know, a spouse and children or, you know, parents. I mean, some people have ailing parents. And so, you know, we have lives and we have things, too. We have issues. And, you know, again, that's why, you know, we're reaching out and we're asking people to participate. We're asking people to help us. You know, me personally, if you all could send me, you know, literature, send me information, send me anything that I can use to...
Yeah.
Hands my and educate myself, that would be fantastic because, you know, I just want to share that information and share the resources with people. I just think it's important that we're able to do that. And, you know, I've met some wonderful, wonderful people. I can't say more
about the guys that I met up with yesterday. I'm just, like, I'm really excited and really looking forward to that relationship there. And it's just fantastic. Like I said, you know, I'm really excited. This year is going to be a fantastic year. There are conferences coming up again. I want to hit on that again. We have the Reason Rally at the end of March. We have the African American for Humanism Conference coming up in Chicago. The date is to be announced soon. And I have the Women in Secularism coming up in Virginia. I announced information for that earlier. Dr. Hutchison has her program coming up. I gave the information in the Facebook page for that as well. And from my understanding, she'll be in Phoenix. Al, she,
really?
Dr. Hutchison, will be in Phoenix, I believe, on the 22nd of this month, so a week from today. A week
wow.
from today, and her other program is on the 1st in Los Angeles. So Black Atheists in the Pulpit, and that's a Black History Month presentation. So, again, that's February 1st over at Zion Hill Baptist Church. But, yes, if I find that information about the 22nd, I'll post it on my wall, Al, so you'll have that. So give me a little bit of time. Give me about maybe an hour after the show, and I'll post it to my wall, and then, you know, maybe you'll get a chance to go out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go check it out. It's at a church. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if someone in Phoenix is going to be at a church, but even if it is at a church, you're not going to spontaneously combust. You'll be all right.
I don't know. I feel you ever seen that movie Scanners? Where
yes.
You know, they'll make your head blow up. That's how I feel when I'm in church. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's too funny. No, I feel like Robert De Niro and Al Pacino in The Devil's Advocate when he
wow.
went into the church and he stuck his finger in the rectory
yeah.
and it's like so it started bubbling. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Actually one of
yeah.
my favorite movies ever. So
yeah.
Oh yeah. And yeah, in Sandra said in room that she looks at church as entertainment. Exactly. When I go to a church now, to me, it's like a science experiment because I'm watching everyone and watching everything
yeah.
that's happening.
I thought it was just me. I really thought it was just me. Like, I couldn't. I mean, the jacked up thing is a lot of people don't know I was studying to be a minister, so I know the Bible. I know how it can be manipulated and how it can be misinterpreted or interpreted, whatever. So to hear it quoted wrong and then just to look at the response, you just feel like, wow. I'm out of place.
Exactly. But, you know, my objective now is to find the churches that give you free presents and give you a free meal. And I'm willing to sit through and look at these people, who, you know, especially if they have good cooks. This is one church here on the west
wow.
side of Chicago. I've been scooping them out. You know what I'm
saying? You know you're not right.
I ain't been right for a long time. I've been, you know, not right for so long as normal, baby. So
that is not contributing to the movement.
So again,
you
know,
I gotta get on you. Nope, I gotta get on you like you get on me. That is not contributing to the movement. You can't be eating
okay.
with the folks.
Hey, you got to have some fun with it. I mean, you know, you're going to be, you know, what I call, you know, a captive audience. If you're going to be part of a captive audience for 3-4 hours, the least they can do is feed me. How about that?
Okay. So do you, I mean, I know you get encountered with conversations and everything. So, I mean, do you come out and just say, no, I really don't believe?
Oh, I love doing that now for the shock factor. You know, interestingly enough, you know, we just got some snow here in Chicago. And yesterday I was on my way to my meeting with, you know, some of my fellow counterparts here, some of the non-believers here in Chicago. And so I'm at the stop sign, and this lady is trying to cross the street. And so I'm telling her to hurry up and get across, you know, because I didn't want to run her over. And she's telling me to go. And as soon as I, you know, started going, she walked in front of my car. And I'm like, are you looking for a lawsuit? You know, I stopped. And then she walked over to my side and asked me if I can give her a ride. Now, in the city, that is not something that you do. You do not pick up complete strangers and give them rides in your vehicle. Because, I mean,
not in Chicago,
you know,
no.
Right, exactly. You know, that was close proximity. But she looked relatively harmless. I'm like, what the hell? I was in a good mood yesterday, right? So I met her in the car, and she was asking if I could take her through this one particular corner, which was on the way to the highway. And I said, okay. And we were talking, and she was Reverend Madam X or what have you. And so I'm talking to her, and so I'm kind of avoiding the conversation. And she then asked me to take her to her destination, which was like a few blocks in the other direction. And, you know, again, I was making the food, so I took her on there. And so we were talking. So as she was getting ready to get out of the car, I shared with her. I said, well, I'm going to share something with you. And I waited until it was time for you to get out of the car because I didn't want you to freak out. And I said, I am an atheist. I am a thinker, non-believer, thinker, you know, what have you. And she was like, oh, okay. She said, well, my son is one as well. And I'm like, how about that? How about that? Wow. She was like, well, we need to discuss this. And I'm like, uh-huh, get out of my car.
Wow.
So I just think it's interesting, but there are quite a few of us out here, and hopefully I'll find that woman's son, and he can become part of Black Nonbelievers of Chicago, because we have a lot to do here in Chicago, and I am just really looking forward to seeing the smiles and, you know, hearing about the great stories and, you know, the happy endings and all of that. So, you know, again, guys, you know, when you all get a chance, you know, both of us that head up these organizations, you know, send us information, send people our way, and every once in a while you can send a word of encouragement. That will be lovely too, because sometimes, you know, we need a little extra help to find our motivation again. So after yesterday, I became extremely motivated again, so you're going to see more coming from me this week. And I just wanted to thank the guys that met with me. I want to thank each and every caller, each and every person in the chat room, the people that listen to the archives, and the people that support me on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr. I just, again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And
stop eating these church people food.
Yeah, you know, we appreciate you, and we appreciate all that you all have, you know, contributed to the community as well as us individually. So on that note, we're going to bring it to a close, but next week we are going to have Comedy Gold on the show. Again, Mr. Travis is scheduled to be on the show next week, Mr. Travis Simmons from Funny to the Moon, and we will also have Leanne Lord. She will be on the show next week as well, and her website is veryfunnylady.com. Again, that's veryfunnylady.com. Her name is Leanne Lord. She is absolutely fantastic. You guys are really going to enjoy her. So next week, we're going to laugh and laugh and laugh some more, because I think that's needed as well. There are times when we need to decompress and kind of walk away from, you know, the serious conversations just so that we can get some relief as well. So, guys, hey, great job. You all did fantastic. I appreciate each and every last one of you. And, again, if there's anything you need, you can reach me at blackfreethinkers@gmail.com, blackfreethinkers@gmail.com, and you can reach Mandisa at mandisa@blacknonbelievers.org. Again, mandisa@blacknonbelievers.org. We appreciate you. We're moving forward. You can find Black Nonbelievers of Chicago on Facebook, and you can also find Black Nonbelievers on Facebook, and you can find us both on Meetup. So it's coming, guys. And with that, you all have a lovely weekend, what's left of it anyway. And again,
all right,
take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.